I Fix It Up Life.
We're going old school, offshore, and on set at the wrap party for This Old House's 32nd season at the Cambridge Project.
Master carpenter Norm Abram nails down details of the house's history and dials us in on uber-modern woodworking details.
General contractor Tom Silva and landscape expert Roger Cook break down everything from framing new walls to pulling down a perilous tree to stepping up a new deck.
We're working together inside and out, so let's get the party started.
We wrap it up now on My Fix It Up Life. My Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today. It's time to bring beauty back in your next project by Seeing Red. Born to beat the elements, Western Red Cedar is awesome for outdoor rooms, decks, fences, pergolas, and more. Inside, cedar's a sweet choice for hope chests, highlight walls, and woodworking projects, big and small. Stable, chemical-free, and safe, cedar's a natural choice. So bring beauty back to the yard and punch up projects inside the house. For more information and ideas, see red at wrcla.org. And you are back inside My Fix It Up Life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark.
And we are on the set of This Old House's 34th season, The Wrap, in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And Norm Abram does not need any introduction unless you can't see him sitting here. So I'll introduce Norm Abram, the master carpenter from This Old House. Welcome again to My Fix It Up Live.
All right. Nice to be here with you. Glad you made it to Cambridge.
Thank you for having us here. This is our first This Old House, and I'm very excited to be here. I know you're off out of your mind to be here. You want to see everything.
I've had to take several bottles of tranquilizers because I really am excited. And you guys have been in my building life for a long time, so this is a big deal. And I'm excited to be on this particular project because it's what I guess we call in our life a gut rehab.
Mm-hmm.
You left the outside but took out the inside.
Yep. Well, that was why we were attracted to this project, because there was going to be such a big contrast between what you see outside and what you were going to see inside. Normally, we do a house, the architectural style stays pretty true inside and out, but here, on the outside, you're looking at an 1887 Victorian in Cambridge, and on the inside, you're looking at Scandinavian modern, which is completely different.
It is completely different when you open the door and you walk into the house, and everything is very clean and modern, and there's all these storage solutions everywhere. There's lots of little cubbies and everything, and the outside is just very articulated and rich and everything.
Oh, scalloped shingles, sidewall shingles, it's fantastic.
It is fantastic.
But one of the questions that I have is, when you guys get a project like this, which of course you're 34 seasons, this isn't
right.
Like you just got it yesterday, I know you're working with architects and designers and all kinds of things like that, but, you know, in the first couple of days, do you guys walk the job, like, with tape measures and legal pads and sort of, you know, look at this and look at that, and does it match up?
Well, I think it starts a little bit further back than that. You know, a lot of people will send proposals into the office and to our website, and the producers go through that, and they kind of look at it and say, well, you know, we're looking for something a little different this year. What's different? What's close by? Because we do two projects every year, and the producers talk to us, and we look at the proposal and say, yeah, that one looks interesting, yeah, that one not so much. Tommy might look at it and say, they don't have enough money to do that project, you know, it would be nice to do, but the budget is unrealistic. And so that once that gets narrowed down, then really the key person is Deb, our producer, Deb Hood. She has to think about, does she have enough content to fill the 15 shows we're doing here, finishing up the last one today. And Tommy has to look at it from, can he get it done in the time period that the TV show constrains him to? Because if he wasn't doing a TV show, he'd have more time to do the project.
Right.
And he has to see if he can fit it into the budget. And once that all comes together, we're off and running.
Now, are his bribes included in the budget, or is that separate?
No. You don't need to bribe Tommy. He'll do more for you than you would ever expect from any contractor.
It shows.
Wow.
I mean, the authenticity rings true. And when I've seen some things at thisoldhouse.com, videos that are posted there, watching the work that got done, some of it was super detailed, and other parts of it, like the deconstruction of this house, mm-hmm. were brutal.
Right.
You know, ripping the plaster down, but you're saving trim, for example.
Right.
And is saving trim, just as a general category of project, is that realistic and affordable sometimes, most of the time?
Sometimes it is and sometimes it isn't. Usually on interior trim, if it's got lead paint on it, it's probably more economical just to reproduce it. But what we did here was interesting because we replaced all the windows in this house. And we're in a historic area. It's not a historic district necessarily, but it's a historic area, and there is a commission that somewhat advises us on what we can do and what we can't do. They were very particular about the windows, but Tommy figured out a very clever way to leave all the exterior trim on the house, yet install all brand new windows. And I think a couple new windows were added, so they were new from the trim inside and out. But 90%+ of the windows in this house, when you're looking at them from the outside, that's the trim that was here when we started the project.
Wow.
That's
unbelievable. So he was able to take the old windows out and slide new ones in, and so that they interfaced with the existing casings seamlessly. And that's a real clever solution. So you don't have to even rip it off, you know, rip the trim off.
Yeah, right, right.
You have to, you know, surface sand it down possibly and put new paint on it. But if it's not rotted and it's good condition, why take it off?
That's a really good point, but I've never heard of that before.
No, that's a new one to me, too.
Because everybody wants to work fast and get things done and have everything new anymore, that taking the time and thinking about it and going through it methodically like that, why would you have to get rid of it if it can just be...
Right. Think about the time you're saving.
Yeah.
If you had ripped out all the trim, then you'd have to fit the trim to the old siding, and that might not be the easiest thing to do. This way, you really save a lot of work on the outside. You disrupt the house much less on the outside, you know. And it's true. What we did on the inside is we stripped everything out. I think the only thing that came back in is that doorbell over the front door.
Well, in this house too, everything kind of flipped and flopped around. Like the bedrooms were on one floor, and now they're on a different floor. And it seems like there was like a whole orchestration, even with trying to figure out where everything goes,
right,
and what to save on the outside. And
well, originally this was a two-family. It was a 1-over-1. And when we came here, the kitchen was on the second floor.
Okay, that explains
it,
why.
It had been repurposed as a single-family, but the front hallway was very wide and a lot of wasted space and kind of dark. So the staircase has been reconfigured all the way to the top to gain as much space as you could.
Wow. And I saw online the original kitchen, and when they did that, which looked like, 60s, 70s maybe, did they try to get it wrong, or did they try to get it as wrong as humanly possible?
I think that probably was a budget issue.
It looked like a sheet of plywood with a stove next to it. I mean,
well, you also remember where that kitchen was in the back of the house, and there was a stairway that went down the back, and that's very common in a two-family home. But again, that's a whole bunch of wasted space. So we capitalized and took all that space back by eliminating that stair.
Now, did you have a special woodworking project that you were able to do on this house?
No, nothing in particular. Most of what I did here, I covered a lot of the remote stories that were done on this project, that kitchen counter on the island that goes from the floor all the way across the island and back down the other side.
Oh,
I went to Pennsylvania.
We don't know anything.
Well, wait till you see that.
Okay.
It's the biggest wooden countertop I've ever seen.
Oh, you're kidding
me.
Yeah, appetite. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm going to leave you here and go upstairs and look at it. Can you just give us a hint as to what it's all about?
Well, it's what they call a waterfall top. It's a style, and
I'm leaving.
No.
So it's a butcher block, maple butcher block, and they mitered it. It's 2-inch butcher block mitered on the corners, and then you have these dovetail keys that go all along the edge of it. And in addition to that, because building code requires outlets in the island, which the homeowner and the kitchen designer really didn't want but knew they had to put in, they got a special device, cleverly concealed it in the end of the butcher block, and there's a cover that you just take a suction cup and pop it off, and it's the grain matches, so when it's there, it's hardly visible.
You got to be kidding me.
How
the details. It's all about the details.
How psyched were
that
you when you saw that?
That is unbelievable.
As someone who spent so much time turning a hunk of wood into, you name it, a bed, a gazebo, whatever, to see that kind of thing.
Yeah, and I got to see them make the countertop in Pennsylvania and cut out for that little outlet with a CNC machine. So we're at the top of the technology.
Wow.
Nice. Yeah, I would have used a jigsaw and maybe bent a few maybe bent a couple of blades.
Wow. That is, I can just see you wanting to hide all kinds of little things around.
If I had a CNC machine, I would hide myself so
yeah.
I could use it.
One of the things you should look at when you get upstairs with this house is because of this design, there are some ceiling height changes, and where in the bay windows and in the family room, because of the Scandinavian design, there's wood on the ceiling. It's mostly plaster, but then you have these wood accents, sort of whitewashed southern yellow pine, and the railing going all the way up from the first floor to the top floor is done with that, and that's very typical of that style.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Now, before you got to these finished details, this house was what's called a balloon frame,
mm-hmm.
right? And that must have posed some special problems with,
right.
with, well, first of all, I guess, what is it?
Right. Well, balloon frame, simply stated, we actually put a graphic when we did it on the show because we thought that would explain it a little bit better. But basically, you have your sills on top of the foundation, and then you have studs that run all the way from that sill, past the second floor, all the way up to the plate that supports the roof. And then there's ledger boards that are let into the stud walls, and then the floor joists run side to side all the way across the house, and they sit on those ledger boards. Now, of course, those floor joists they don't have enough strength to span that distance, so you still have bearing walls. But back then, that actually held the house together.
So it's all interlocked left and right,
yeah.
up and down.
Right.
But you've got your...
But you've got fire blocking issues because...
So no 2x4 blocks across the
right.
stud bay.
So if a fire were ever to start in a balloon frame house that's not fire blocked, those stud bays, especially if there's no insulation in them, act like chimneys, and the houses can burn very quickly.
Right.
Good time.
Yeah.
Good
so
time. So you can stay warm for one
right,
night.
Right. So for
with your house,
just
you
want to
warm yourself with your house.
Just trying to stay positive.
Well, honey, I think we have to go to break.
We do have to go to break. Norm Abram
yes.
from This Old House, thank you very much
Welcome.
For joining us. And we'll be back with more My Fix It Up Life.
Folks are old and burning. Time at least is not mine.
Walls before you paint? Do it the Hyde way, not the hard way, with Hyde's dust-free sander. Attach to your wet dry vac and go. No drywall dust on your furniture, no tough cleanup when you're done. Buy online at Amazon.com.
Looking for a no-hassles roof for your home? DaVinci Roofscapes offers affordable slate and shake roofing tiles that add long-term beauty to your home. The synthetic DaVinci tiles resist mold, algae, fungus, and insects. Backed by a 50-year warranty, DaVinci roofs are fire-resistant and withstand severe weather like high winds and hail. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen DaVinci slate and shake tiles to not only protect but enhance the beauty of their home. Learn more about award-winning DaVinci products at DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624 today.
Add more curb appeal to your home.
Create a memorable entrance with Therma-True fiberglass doors and Fypon synthetic trim that won't warp, crack, or rot.
And give you those rich details that make your home a showpiece.
Make your great entrance by visiting Therma-True.com and Fypon.com.
Pamper your skin the way nature intended with Green Street Luxuries. Green Street Luxuries offers you vegan and vegetarian-friendly homemade luxury soaps, lotions, and skincare products that have natural and healing ingredients. Try Green Street Luxuries today at greenstreetlux.com.
And you are back inside My Fix It Up Life with my wife, Teresa.
My husband, Mark.
A very old house and two extraordinary contractors from this old house, Roger Cook and Tom Silva.
Yeah,
hey, guys.
My husband, Tom.
Hey,
those questions are on this side of the paper. moving on.
Yes. No, we just got a hand from being quieter.
Oh, that's because they're filming upstairs.
You have to be gentle. Use your inside voices.
Let's use golf voices.
Yes, library voices.
I don't golf.
Tom Silva steps up to the 18th hole, skips it, goes to the 19th hole, and opens a beer.
Insert bird noises.
All right, so guys, let's start with Roger, because Roger, you're right to my right here. What were the landscaping challenges on this project? Starting with the impossible landscaping challenge and moving to the easy.
Well, it's Cambridge, and you never have enough room to do anything. And the thing I have to consider is Tommy's got to come in here for 8 months, and he needs room to do his stuff. So then I get 2 weeks to come in here and finish everything. And that's just the way it is, and it works because we do this together. About a month ago, he started giving me space on the site so I could start working my way around the site. But it's a strange dance we do, and we pull it off every time.
About a foot a day. In 30 days, he's got 30 feet. But that's how it works.
We don't work fast. We work good, but we don't work fast.
Is it harder the smaller that a site is?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, every square inch counts on a small site. On a big site, you can put down a lot of mulch, a lot of grass, but every square inch is so vital in a site like this that has to be all taken into consideration in the plan that you're working with.
And then where you move things, where you move to, back, forth, all this other stuff?
Yeah, half the stuff's still at my house, so we'll bring it in, the rest of it in the spring, but no, we're good for now.
As it turns out, we could use some plants.
Well, I have to say, when I walked onto the property, I felt very calm. Like, it feels very, I don't know, meditative or something like that. You know, walking around, everything's so dense. It's a very bustling neighborhood. And then walking onto this property, I just want to go outside and have, you know, a cup of tea and relax. Isn't that what the feeling you had too, honey?
That's exactly.
A cup of tea.
It's a compliment to the landscape architect, Greg Lombardi. I think he did a great job with the materials we put in and the way things transitioned from different rooms, but also the physical things we took care of, the downspouts, the drainage, and all the stuff that you don't see, the preparation, Tommy's work on the deck and all the way around the house. It's just, it really came together to be a really nice project.
Yeah, the landscaping did really come out very nicely, as it always does, but the division with the plants and everything, it really separates the driveway to the private area and the deck, and the bushes that you did out front are really swell because it separates, it gives them their space, you know. But it's not tight.
Now, and when it comes to like landscape structures like decks, it looks like there's a garden outside, like for a food garden. I don't know what
it is. Oh, yeah, there is.
It's a fence structure. Do you guys work together on that? Tom, do you build it and do you plan it and that kind of thing?
That was it's sort of a repeat of something we've done 3 times this summer. We find that people are really getting into the vegetable gardens, and the only thing you can do is fence it off, or the woodchucks, or someone finds it, the deer or the rabbits. So it's a duplicate of what we did. What Tommy did was, and it was a great cost-saving measure. Originally, we were going to have a stone wall and a raised bluestone deck out back, and that was going to cost a lot of money. In fact, it would have blown the budget. But Tommy came up with the idea of rebuilding the deck a little bit and then putting these Ipe square grids on top of it, and it worked out great for what they need.
Yeah, have you guys seen those? It's basically a mat system that the Ipe boards, we can do Ipe, mahogany, they even have tile or slate, and they're attached to this grid system so that they're either 12 by 12 or 12 by 24, and it's an interlocking system that if you have a concrete patio, for example, and you want to make it wood, you just lock the system together, and it can go in a pattern that we've placed outside, which is basically just a straight pattern, no staggered joints. Oh, you can herringbone it. You could do...
Or you could change them.
You can change it. You can do a brick mold, running bond, all kinds of different things that you can do with them. Or you can use the squares and alternate the squares. Again, you can do it in slate or granite. They have different...
And is it? And I'm oversimplifying. Is it just laying there, like sort of like a floor system?
You aren't oversimplifying. It's very simple. It's basically put it in place, take the next one, put it beside it, snap down on it, and it's in place.
Really?
And very its own easy. Mass keeps it there. So
its own mass keeps it there.
It sits off the ground just a little bit, so it's great because it drains very well, too.
And we,
it also adapts to, we did it on a concrete thing for Astis Hill House, and it'll adapt to a little bit of deviation. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll move a little bit, so it's good.
Yeah, great. Because there's legs underneath it. But yeah. We did it over the pressure-treated deck that was here.
Oh, you left the frame.
Yeah, we left the frame and the pressure-treated decking. I repaired some of the decking that was really bad, and I wanted to make sure that it was straight, so I dug out a couple of pieces. I also drilled a series of holes through the decking so I'd get better drainage.
Right.
But other than that, I put it right on top of the deck, saved a ton of money.
Yeah, he did. It was a great idea.
Yeah. So from like a critical path standpoint, when you guys are walking a job site and you're talking about you need to get material in, but you've got certain jobs you need to do, do you frame from the inside out, do your rough carpentry that way?
It depends on the job. In this particular job, this particular house, there was minimal work done to the exterior of the house. Although there was a lot of work, in most jobs that we do, this was a minimal exterior job. We didn't replace the siding. We patched some of the siding. We didn't put in new windows. We installed replacement windows against the existing trim. The casings.
Right.
Some of the cases where I had to move windows, or where they had a new window, for example, they had a new window that was shorter in the kitchen, so we didn't have an old window that would fit there. So what I did is I took older window parts, like the casing and the sill, I cut them down, I put them into place, and then I took a new double-hung replacement window and put it behind it.
My wife is glowing with the ingenuity.
I think you're a building artist. That's what you are. You're an artist.
Well, thank you, but I don't
know. I'm just saying that's your title. Just go with it. Roll with it because the creativity, the ingenuity.
She doesn't glow that often.
Yeah.
That's a whole...
Thank you very much.
A lot of synapses firing when you have to think about all those different things.
And I'm going
to
get in trouble for this later, but nor is she usually that quiet.
No.
Well, you know, the thing is I grew up in an old house built in the late 1700s, and I learned my trade as a very, very young person. I was probably 4 or 5 years old. I was always working alongside my dad, and he was always renovating and restoring a house that he lived in on weekends and at nights, and it was five little boys running around because it was four brothers and a sister, and we used to drive him crazy, so... And I loved working, or I thought I was working with my dad, but he basically said to my mother one day, and he said, these kids are driving me crazy, they're right on top of me, I'm going to buy them tools, I'm going to tell them they're toys, I'm going to put them to work. So he put me to work at a very early age, but I loved it.
Now,
and I loved it.
Roger, were you conscripted into childhood labor as well?
No. I really fell into this business. I majored in forestry in wildlife management in college and had a job for the summer after I graduated. And that got done in August. My wife informed me I would find a job, a real job right away. So I said, okay. And I ended up working for a landscape company. My first job was pruning the ivy around the windows at Harvard University. And I lasted about 3 days, and I said, this just isn't for me. And the boss said, you want to work? I said, yeah. He put me out on a construction crew, and I learned how to run backhoes and do paving. For 5 years, I was a happy camper. I loved what I did, and then I left and started my own business.
Wow.
And the weird part of the story is the company that I started for was the original landscape company for this old house, so I got to meet all the people. 5 years after I left and started my business, I got a call from Tom Worth. He was a landscape architect on the original shows we did, saying, well, do you want to work with this old house again? And I said, no way. No, just kidding. I said, when? And he said, tomorrow. I said, I'll be there. So that
nice.
Was it. Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah.
And you've done everything from hardscaping to taking down trees to lawn maintenance, right?
Oh, yeah. I first started out, I had two little 21-inch mowers out of the back of my Jeep, and I'd drive around to the clients' houses. I think they just felt sorry for me at the time and cut their lawns. But it was kind of crazy.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
You got to do what you have to do.
You did, didn't you? Whatever it
That's
took
right.
to get by.
Right.
My mom's car was my first
Is
vehicle.
Right?
Yeah.
I
car.
Yeah.
Car.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not even going to tell you what kind of car it was.
I stole my father's string trimmer because I couldn't afford to buy a string trimmer.
Jeez. Oh,
And now you've risen to this, but we've risen to having to take a break.
We do.
So we'll be back from the set of This Old House Rap Party 34th season with more of my Fix It Up Life.
High above red dreams, double set stains, perfect patch. For the hell of it is why you try.
Want to turn a kitchen or bath from drab to fab? Pilot yourself with Bondera.
If you can paint or wallpaper, you can put in beautiful new tile yourself using Bondera.
Bondera makes tiling faster, easier, and cleaner than using mortar or mastic.
It's an advanced, pressure-sensitive adhesive on a roll
that repels water, is mold-resistant, and environmentally friendly.
Saving time and money is beautiful with Bondera Tile Mat Set.
Visit BonderaTileMatSet.com for more information.
Or grab a roll at Lowe's today.
My Fix It Up Life is brought to you in part by Stanley Tools, supplier of carpentry hand tools, laser measuring tools, automotive tools, tool sets, and toolboxes for construction professionals, mechanics, and home improvement enthusiasts. For more than 165 years, the Stanley brand has been synonymous with quality, reliable products for the job site, workshop, and garage. For more information about Stanley products, visit stanleytools.com or call 1-800-STANLEY today.
Got a home improvement headache?
Here's a quick tip from My Fix It Up Life on working with your spouse.
You can keep your relationship strong while you fix up your home.
Create a sensible budget together.
Be mindful of each other's time.
Get ready for dust and mess.
Compliment your spouse about their strengths before offering advice.
Plan, plan, plan.
And don't forget to smile.
For more quick tips, tune into the My Fix It Up Life show Saturdays at 10 a.m. on 1520 a.m. WCHE.
Back inside My Fix It Up Life, and we're at the end of the show.
We've got more home improvement how-to and inspiration on MyFixItUpLife.com.
We're on Twitter, Facebook, and we're sharing how-to videos on YouTube and pinning awesome photos on Pinterest.
We love to be inspired by your questions, your triumphs, and your home improvement success. So email us at info@MyFixItUpLife.com.
And we're giving away great tools and gear to help get DIY done at MyFixItUpLife.com. Just click on free stuff.
And we'll be back next week with more My Fix It Up Life.
I'd like to wait and see. Sometimes we agree just to agree. With the referee, I'm so glad you walked into my life, into my Fix It Up Life. This is my Fix It Up Life. It might be a white dress walking up to me. It might be sunrise in a sky blue sea. Be the holder of my front door key at night. I'd like to wait and see. Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee. I'm so glad that you became my wife. This is our Fix It Up Life. Just a simple. Best friend aging gracefully. It might be a lifelong love filled guarantee. And I'm so glad that we. Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we fight with the referee. I'm so glad you walked through the door.
is our Fix It Up Life. This is my Fix It Up Life.